Earlier this year, WHYY education reporter Avi Wolfman-Arend was approached by a former teacher at Frederick Douglass Elementary School in North Philadelphia.
And basically, she just had a gut feeling. A couple years before she came to me, there had been this weird incident. For like a week or two, the water at the school had come out brown and they told everyone not to drink it. Yeah, like brown, like milky, Nestle chocolate milk looking water.
It was unclear what caused the brown water, which cleared up after a week. But even before that, staff at the school didn't drink from the fountains, only from a cooler. She found that odd. She and other staff members just felt there was something wrong with the water.
They didn't know that. They'd never seen a test that proved it. They just felt in their bones that the water was unsafe.
And was she right?
She was right. She was more right than I think she could have even imagined.
A recent test showed extremely high levels of lead in the water at Douglass. And it turns out Douglass probably isn't alone. But why is it so hard to say just how many schools have a serious lead problem with their water? I'm Shai Ben-Yaakov. This is The Why. Avi teamed up with data reporter Ryan Briggs of WHYY's Plan Philly to look into the problems at Douglass. Their story appeared on WHYY's Keystone Crossroads. So Ryan, what kind of lead testing has been done at Frederick Douglass?
Well, the school was a district school and then it changed to a charter school. The district had tested for lead in the 2000s and found that there was a lead problem. When the school changed over to a Mastery charter school, there was testing that was done in 2017 that again showed that there was a lead problem at the drinking fountains in the school. And then in 2019, as a result of some new legislation, there were additional tests that were done by Mastery that for a third time found that there was a lead problem at the school.
So when you say lead problem, what do you mean?
Lead contamination in the drinking water that was above school district limits and EPA limits. In the most recent test, it found that in at least one outlet, there was lead detected that was 350 times over the allowable limit that the district has established.
This was an extraordinary amount of lead compared to even other old school buildings. There was clearly something wrong in the school.
Do we know what was wrong in the school?
Well, we know from engineering reports and sort of other documents that there is lead solder in the pipes in the building. That's not super uncommon for old buildings. It would take a plumber with a real diagnostic mind to dive in there and diagnose exactly what's wrong at this school. But one could, I think, safely assume it has something to do with the piping.
So what did the school do as a result of these high lead tests?
It's been kind of piecemeal over the years. So in the early 2000s, from what we can tell, there was some remediation efforts at the outlets that tested high. Some were taken offline or repaired or replaced. Then in 2017, there were three outlets that failed. We're told all of those were taken offline. And then in 2019, when the test came back really, really high at several drinking outlets throughout the school, Mastery, to its credit, finally made the decision to say, like, no one's going to drink out of the water in this school anymore. We're just going to bring in jugs, like Deer Park filtered office cooler jugs, and put them throughout the hallways. And that was the first time in essentially a 15-year saga of, like, troubling lead results that someone said, yeah, we're just not going to use the water at this school anymore.
And did they tell parents about it?
No one told parents that this was the reason they're completely changing how the kids drink water at the school. It just happened.
And did the parents eventually find out?
The parents did find out, but only after we had called Mastery and asked why there had been no parental disclosure. This was following a right to know request where we saw that there had been some internal discussion about what to do about, you know, these lead results. And as Avi says, you know, there was action taken to disable the fountains that had tested hot for lead, but there clearly was no attempt made to otherwise notify parents in a proactive way, that their kids could have been exposed to contaminated water if they had drank from one of these fountains.
So eventually parents do find out that this 2019 test came back this incredibly high. How did they react?
Well, when we found parents, they were upset.
So there were four outlets that tested above the permissible level. The permissible level is 10. So this is 708. This one's 1760. This one's 35.
708 and...
This one's 3530.
3530.
But so... 3530.
One of the parents we talked to was Gail Glenn and her husband, Alfonso Glenn. They're super involved parents and have been for many, many years at the school. And they were, you know, understandably really upset.
From, and it's supposed to be at 10? Oh my goodness. This is killing our kids. So,
did the school apologize to the parents?
Yeah, there was an attempt after we reached out to the school to reach out to the parents and try to sort of let them know what happened.
I do feel badly that we should have sent a notice out.
Mastery School CEO Scott Gordon, you know, was apologetic and said, like, we should have told parents that this test happened and that it came back high.
Because it creates a sense of distrust. And you and I know each other.
So what did public health experts say about how the school dealt with this? Like, did they do this right?
Well, public health experts like Marilyn Howarth would say that in terms of handling the actual contamination issue, the school reacted well. They did what they were supposed to do.
Water that is for drinking purposes, we need to be sure that it's safe.
Which is, you shut off access to all of these outlets, you replace the drinking water throughout the school with bottled water or water coolers.
Unless lead service lines, lead solder, and brass fixtures are removed, which is very costly to do, children should be provided with clean water that's free of lead.
But that's unusual, right? Like, we don't often see that.
When we come back,
I think it's very possible that there are other schools like this out there and that people are not connecting the dots.
This is The Why.
This podcast is supported by PICO, empowering thousands of organizations to make a positive impact on our community, from aiding those in need to creating new opportunities for growth in our region. Details at PICO.com/PICO Powers.
I'm Shai Ben-Yaakov. I'm talking with WHYY reporters Avi Wolf-Manarin and Ryan Briggs about lead-contaminated drinking water at Philadelphia schools.
It wasn't until the mid-80s that we sort of decided as a society, no more lead solder in pipes. The average age of a public school building in Philadelphia is 70 years old. So you can do that math, right? So there's certainly plenty of buildings with old pipes that likely have lead solder in them. That doesn't mean the drinking water is necessarily unsafe, but it certainly is a risk factor. This is a risk.
I mean, we know that this has been something that the district has been looking at since the 90s and early 2000s. There was an EPA consent decree that forced the district to essentially engage in a comprehensive review of lead contamination in all of its school buildings in the 2000s. And we know that for instances like Douglas, they definitely found buildings that had concerning levels of lead in the drinking water. So it's definitely safe to say that it's a widespread issue and that the district has known for decades that this is a problem.
So I just want to get very specific about how the school district identifies problems and what they do about it. How often does the school district test its water?
Well, now it tests its water relatively frequently. And, you know, there was a district-wide test in 2017 where they checked all of their buildings for lead contamination in the drinking water. That was a product, again, of legislation that essentially, you know, was going to make them undertake that kind of testing. Since then, they have had rolling tests at specific schools on a semi-regular basis. And I think those have tended to focus on school buildings where there is a higher likelihood that there could be a lead problem or that have had problems in the past.
So Mastery Charter didn't do a great job of communicating with parents. What's the school district's policy when it comes to letting people know when a test comes back high?
So what we're told is that they basically send a letter out to parents saying, this is what we found, and we are going to immediately take the affected outlets offline. I will say that in addition to that, the district, and again, this was somewhat compelled by city council legislation, has added more filtered water fountains in a lot of its schools. And so more students now have access to a drinking outlet that at least at the sort of the consumer end has a filter put in it. That doesn't mean like the entire school's water is being filtered, but at least the water coming out of the fountain to the child's mouth is being run through sort of last second through a filter. So there's way more water fountains like that.
So if a test comes back normal, does that necessarily mean it's safe to drink from that fountain?
No, not necessarily, at least not going forward, because conditions can change. First of all, the lead pipe can just get older and there can be more leaching. There could be construction nearby that, you know, vibrates and disturbs the pipes in the building. You know, sometimes the results themselves are just variable based on the time of day you're testing or whether you've run the water beforehand or it's been still and sitting in the pipes overnight. So there are a lot of factors that can contribute to variability when it comes to lead testing. There's a million things that can happen. It's just like any old house. Sometimes things that work one day can break the next day. And unless you're like constantly testing, there's no way to ensure that any given outlet is safe. The district owns 300 very old houses, essentially.
Very large houses.
Very large houses.
In this case.
It's really hard to make sure that in all of them there's no risk factors.
So how are school leaders, you know, people like Scott Gordon, dealing with this problem?
Well, in the aftermath of this, we kind of got a little bit of a window into it, and we actually got a chance to sort of, in a meeting afterwards, see Scott Gordon and the expert Marilyn Howarth like interacting and talking about this and almost like contemplating this idea of like, wait, do we need to like put jugs in all of our old schools? Like, is anyone doing enough?
On different days, in different circumstances, you will have different levels, which is why the only safe thing to do is to really not use any of them.
Okay, well, that is very troubling.
That question confronts all school leaders in a sense, anyone who's looking after old buildings that could have this problem lurking in the pipes.
The broader context with some of this that's worth pointing out is that this comes as the school district faces like a multi-billion dollar facilities crisis. Like they have a serious backlog of deferred maintenance across the board. And so this is part of that larger picture in a sense. So you're talking about, well, why isn't the school district investing potentially millions of dollars per school times however many old school buildings they have on a given basis? You haven't seen the literally billions of dollars of investment needed to bring Philadelphia's public schools up to the standard that people in most other districts find acceptable.
Avi, is Philadelphia an outlier? Is the lead pipe in school problem worse here than other places?
It's hard to know because lead testing isn't required by the state of Pennsylvania. Districts can voluntarily do it. So there's just a lot of unknowns here. Some districts have done the testing. Most have not. Philadelphia, in some ways, is an outlier because they do regularly on a rolling basis test, thanks to, you know, recent legislation passed by city council and some proactive steps by the school district. So things aren't necessarily worse here. It's just that we know about them now. And so in some ways, Philadelphia is to be commended. There are a lot of old school buildings in this city. Some of them are run by the school district. Some of them are run by private schools or Catholic schools who also may have lead in their pipes, or at least buildings that are the age that you would think lead solder might be used in the pipes. And so it's hard to know. We don't know what the water quality is in all of those schools. Some may have tested, some may have not. We actually just don't know.
Avi, Ryan, thanks very much.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
WHYY education reporter Avi Wolfman-Arendt and Plan Philly data reporter Ryan Briggs co-reported their story for Keystone Crossroads. The Y is produced by me, Shai Ben-Yaakov, along with Annette John Hall, Alex Stern, and Kelsey Hansen, with editorial direction from Katie Culinary. We had editing help on this episode from Kevin McCory. Our intern is Jade Chandler. Send a tweet at Shai Ben-Yaakov. See you tomorrow.
This podcast is supported by PICO, empowering thousands of organizations to make a positive impact on our community, from aiding those in need to creating new opportunities for growth in our region. Details at pico.com/PICO Powers.